Grace to you and peace in the name of our crucified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the days of Lent and these last days of Holy Week, we've been examining some of the customs and the symbols associated with this particular season of the church year. We began by looking at the ashes, which are a symbol of our relative worthlessness before God because of our sin. We talked about repentance and saw how this attitude and action are characteristic of this whole season and this time in the church year. We examined some of those customs and symbols that we as Lutherans have not really made extensive use of in recent years. Foot washing, fasting, covering with veils and such. All elements designed to help us see more clearly the sacrificial suffering and death of Jesus. Last night we focused our attention on the meaning and the message of Christ's body and blood given to us in the sacrament of Holy Communion, that which we appropriately and intentionally call the Lord's Supper. All of which brings us to tonight and to that symbol which stands at the center of Holy Week and at the epicenter of our faith. And that's the cross. It's hard to imagine a more unlikely symbol to be used to represent anything that anyone is trying to promote, let alone a faith that speaks of love and mercy and forgiveness, than a cross. And if that statement doesn't really make sense to you, then it's probably because you have grown up in 20th or 21st century America, where the cross is seen as some beautiful ornament to place around one's neck, or to place on the wall of one's home. You didn't grow up in a first century Roman territory where crosses were used to torture and to kill those who were dissidents of Rome. It's hard to imagine a more brutal nor cruel instrument of death than that of a cross. Its sole purpose was to cause as much pain and humiliation and suffering as possible for as long as possible until the victim was dead. It was also designed to send a very powerful and persuasive message to anyone unfortunate enough to see one in use. There was nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, beautiful about a cross. It was nothing more than a crudely fashioned yet highly effective instrument of death. No one in his right mind who'd ever seen a cross used would ever, ever hang one in one's home or place one on a chain around one's neck or have one tattooed on one's body. It's important for us to remember this, lest we empty the cross of its power and lest we diminish the sacrifice of our Savior. If all we see when we look at a cross is a beautiful wall hanging or a gorgeous necklace or a very pretty stained glass window, then we've lost sight of the importance of the cross in our theology. And we've drained the gospel message of its power and made it nothing more than a tagline. in order to see the power and the beauty and the love of Jesus, we must first and always see the horror and the ugliness of the cross. The depth of Christ's love for us and the magnitude of his sacrifice for us can only be measured when it stands in contrast to the gruesome nature of the cross. Our Lord Jesus loves us so much, so far beyond human comprehension or explanation. Not simply that he would become human for us, or that he would get down and wash feet for us, or even that he would die for us, but that he would suffer and die the death of a cross for us. That's how much Jesus loves us. And it was on the cross that Jesus' suffering went from bad to worse. As in the course of his physical suffering, God then placed upon him all the sins of humankind. He suffered the punishment for our waywardness, for our rebelliousness, for our sin. We are forgiven of our sins because he paid the sin debt for us through the shedding of his blood on the cross. A sacrifice which satisfied the justice of God. That sacrifice of Jesus can only be appreciated if the cross is not emptied of its terror. And thus we must always see behind our crosses made of finest gold and silver. Behind our crosses inlaid with diamonds and pearls and other fancy jewels. Behind our crosses that hang or stand so majestically and beautifully in our sanctuaries, we must see the splintered, bloodied, horrific instrument of death and torture that it was. You see, the cross in human history represents the worst part of humanity. It's a symbol of unspeakable cruelty. And yet, because of Jesus, because of his love-inspired sacrifice which took place upon it, because it's the means through which God has forgiven each of us of all of our sins, it has become for us a symbol of love and hope and even victory. There is now for us even a beauty in the cross. For never has there been a more beautiful demonstration of love than that which Jesus gave us in suffering the torture of the cross in our stead. And so the cross stands as the enduring and central symbol of both Holy Week and of our faith. None of the other symbols matter without the cross. For without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we would still be lost and condemned sinners. Our salvation is a direct result of what Jesus did on the cross. May we thus always cherish the old rugged cross in all of its shame, sorrow, and unspeakable cruelty, knowing that it was there that our Savior Christ Jesus showed us the depth and the breadth of his love for us. To God be the glory for the sacrifice of his Son. Amen.